You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This episode of The Instance is brought to you by our friends at DoghouseSystems.com. Go check them out because they have the best rigs you'll get anywhere, and they'll take really good care of you as well. I love my Doghouse system, and you'll love yours. Check them out today and use the code FROGPANTS at checkout for some great benefits. That's over at DoghouseSystems.com.
It was a bear
in a hat.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Instance. The Instance episode 630. It is the second month of the year, 12th of February, 2021. I'm Scott Johnson. He's Garrett Weinzierl. Hello, Garrett.
Hey, Scott. How you doing today?
Hey, man. I'm all right. I'm okay. I'm doing an embarrassing thing in World of Warcraft that I'd like to tell you about, because I know you won't judge me.
Oh, I like hearing
this.
About your embarrassing things in World of Warcraft.
I guess it's not embarrassing, but I don't know what it is. After all our discussion last week, maybe I already mentioned this. I don't think I did. I decided to level my Demon Hunter.
Did we talk about this?
Okay. Well, he's done.
Yeah, we talked about
he's
this.
Done and dusted, except I have a big complaint, and that is this. They're a little OP, I'm going to say, as an alt right now. They always have been, but right now, super OP. I can, you know, tank spec like 15 mobs at once and really not worry about dying. And I over-leveled, and I didn't do a lot of extra stuff. I sort of just focused on, all right, well, when Bastion tells me I'm done with defending Bastion, I do the 100%. I'll go off to Maldraxxus and then do the same thing and just do the Threads of Fate dance, which I did. And the last two alts that I made in this expansion both dinged 60 when I went back after the final Covenant was done. I went back to Ouroboros and they said, well done, bling, and I hit 60 in both those cases. In this one, I got to Ouroboros after doing everybody, talked to the lady, and went, bling, 59. I have a whole level left and no Threads of Fate to do it in. So I'm either just going to tank spec freaking dungeon stuff. Probably that's what I'll do. Or I'm going to just go and clean up on old little side quests that were out there that I didn't do while I was in those zones. Like, I'm a little bummed. I thought it would just ding me to 60 when I got to Ouroboros, regardless of what happened, because that would just feel right. Instead, now it's like, oh, well, I did that. Now I got to what? Go back to like Ardenweald and do 10 little squiggly things on the side? It was a...
Were you not doing squiggly things while you were going through?
Well, when I found them, yeah. So I would see like, you know,
okay,
a side thing and I go, okay, I'm doing that. And then I would do, there'd be like a world quest and I'd do that. And
because there's no promise that doing your four like mega quests are going to get you there. They're a fixed chunk of XP.
They should jump you, man, is what I'm saying. They should have got you to
I still think Threads of Fate is a little wonky and not a particularly fun experience personally, but
yeah,
again, it's I'm glad there's any other option. So
right
the fact that it's not really jiving for me, but I mean, had you asked me ahead of time, I would have highly recommended running a few dungeons along the way.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, if you can tank, there's really nothing stopping you from just constantly running dungeons. So you don't have the weight that you do if you're DPSing.
That's all. That's what I probably should have done. And the only downside of that is I wouldn't have gotten maybe the breadth of gear that you get upgrades for. But then none of that really matters when you get 60 anyway, because you're about to get new gear.
Yeah,
you're
going to replace it so quickly. It's irrelevant.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm with you, man. I think it's still a little weird, but like, I'm still in the like boat of not having a super strong negative opinion, because I'm just glad that there's any alternative at all.
Yeah.
Once I really get my alts rolling.
Same.
So yeah. And
to me, it's the best possible combination of, you know, the way Legion did it is kind of this template where In Legion, though, in real time, in your first one through, you were choosing what zone to start with and then what to end with. This is a lot like that. In fact, it's almost exactly like that without the story, like the story removed from it. So having that concise story option or this very different sort of just grind your way to 60 option is a lot better than only having one of those options. So I agree with you there. I still say the whole Maw thing with getting Jaina and everybody's shit together over there is just a horrible waste of 45 minutes. And I don't want to do it anymore.
Experience. Yeah. I was like, dude, if you're going off on the Maw again, like we're both on the same page. Definitely both on the same page about the intro experience. They need to let us skip that. That is ridiculous.
Yeah. There's no reason to have it. Like, if I understand that there's about a level's worth of experience there, but again, use control all the switches and knobs, Blizzard. Just make us 51 and let us skip. Like, who cares?
Like, let's just go. Just sort that out, man. Just redistribute your experience elsewhere.
Yeah. It's kind of a bummer. But I am going to go. I think I am just going to grind out that final level just in dungeons because I am tank spec and I should be able to get into those pretty quick and I'll just do it. But I have to say, though, I really enjoyed this run. I really, really like the Demon Hunter still. And every time I go back to him, I'm like, oh, yeah, I love this class. Like, I really like it. I don't like the DPS spec. I find it, like, spastic and annoying.
I find both of them spastic and annoying, but I love moving around the world as a Demon Hunter.
Yeah, that's
like
the other thing.
Being a Demon Hunter, I don't really like fighting as a Demon Hunter.
Yeah.
Which you'd think would be cool, but it's like too much. I like weight and impact in my melee in any game that I play, and the Demon Hunter just doesn't have that for me.
Yeah. Well, for me, it felt good. So that was what I did all week. Was not all week, but here and there. Actually, it doesn't take that much. It's not that hard of a much long of a haul to get those 10 levels. And so I'd get in here and there, knock out a few, clear out a covenant. Also, I have a preferred covenant order, and I would like to share it with the people here. Maybe it's only preferred covenant order if you're a certain class. I don't know. But as a Demon Hunter, here's the order I used, and I liked it. Revendreth first. Because
get that thing out of the way. I was aiming a zone order, not a covenant order.
So. Do that first. Zone order. Do that first. Get it done. Then go do Maldraxxus because it's fun and a decent place to kind of grind out those earlier levels where you feel like you're sort of got a ways to go. For some reason, that feels like a nice equalizing experience over there. I like it. And then go do Bastion because Bastion's boring. Bastion's a fine starting zone for the story. It's a very boring zone for alts, just really, really boring. So do that and get it out of your life. And then do Ardenweald last because even if you're sick of doing some of the repetitive stuff you do there, it's still gorgeous and you want to spend your time there. It's a great place to sort of finish things off.
And tell you what I've been doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still don't have a single other max level alt, but I was for a while regularly kind of tinkering with my Death Knight.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty close now. I think 57 or 58 last time I checked. I don't remember. I didn't log in on him on this week. But what I've been doing is like I'll just once a week check in on like that alt. And I'll just go whatever zone has the most bonus XP quests currently going on. Sure. And I've just been slowly filling up those mega quest bars pretty evenly.
Hmm.
I only play my alt once or twice a week.
That's not bad. And that's actually an all right idea.
It's really been enjoyable. It spices up my WoW week. It throws a little bit of a left curve into my regular main grind on my warrior.
Yeah.
And I don't feel burnt out. It's just like, oh, I'm in the mood to grind out some quests. And that's when I go over on the alt.
I think that's great.
And then I just, I haven't been bored with it. And the only reason I didn't really get into it this week is I've just been kind of busy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Same. I didn't have a lot of time to do much else. So, and some of it was a little absent-minded. I'll admit it. I had some homework to do, for Film Sack and some other stuff. So I could have something on over here and just sort of quietly level over here. Got a little distracted once and died once, but, for the most part, pretty smooth sailing. I don't know. That's one of the things that's great about
what movie you just watched for Film Sack and see if I can figure out why you got distracted. But I can't think of what you just watched.
Well, this week we're doing, what are we doing? I haven't watched it yet tonight.
What did you watch last week? I saw some tweets and it was something I recognized.
Why is my memory so bad? What did we just do?
Oh, you watched 12 Monkeys.
12 Monkeys.
12 Monkeys. Last 12
Monkeys.
Week.
And I still enjoyed 12 Monkeys a lot. It's got some problems, but I like it a lot. This weekend we're
really
watching.
Poor memory for it.
My Bloody Valentine on its like 40th anniversary, which is this old like freaky Halloween movie I saw.
Oh, not so the original one, not the remake that came out when I was in high school.
Not that 3D remake thing. It's this original one that it's the, okay, I'll give you, this is the one thing about it I always remember. And it stuck with me because I was probably, I think it came out when I was like 11 and I think I saw it when I was like 16 on VHS. And it was the first horror movie where somebody was somebody got hung on a meat hook while they were alive. Now that's like a trope in horror movies now, but I had never seen that before. And it's, man, that thing burned a hole into my brain about how horrible it would be to have somebody like lift you up and hang you on a meat hook while they go deal with some other teenage victim. It was rough.
Oh, you just made me feel old because I looked it up. I'm like, oh, the original one, it was only in 81. That's not 40. Oh, God.
Yeah, dude. It's old.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh, 40 is coming up quick for me.
Yeah. Rapidly. All right. Rapid 40 is what we call it.
It's rap, good old, you got a case of the rapid 40s.
You got the rapid 40s. Watch
out.
That's
what you got. Take some nostalgia and call me in the morning.
That's right.
Yeah. And apparently there was not a remake when I was in high school. There was a remake in 09. I would have been graduating college.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I get my time stuff all mixed up, but,
yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
If you want to see somebody,
I saw that 3D remake. Anyway,
I'm sure it was back bad. To WoW. Now back to this. Hey, let's do some side quests and get these out of the way because I'm going to overlevel and be an Ouroboros before you know it. Valor points are back. Yeah, that's right. You've been hearing about this all week, I'll bet. If you've been keeping your ear to the World of Warcraft stone, that doesn't make sense. Hey, one problem, though. It's only going to be meaningful if you're playing the Mythic Plus game. All right? So if you're doing a lot of Mythic Plus stuff, you are the ones getting Valor points back. The rest of us who maybe aren't so much into Mythics, it's not going to affect us very much, but here's how it works. My Blizzard brought them back. Kind of makes sense to me. So you gain Valor points from completing Mythic Plus dungeons and from callings. There is a weekly cap on the amount of Valor you can obtain. Talking about Valor just feels like such a flashback. So weird to even say it. Literally, when I say there's a weekly cap on the amount of Valor you can obtain, transports me like 7 years in the past. That's just a weird feeling. Anyway. Yeah,
'cause we've had different versions of Valor over the years, and when was the last time we even had it? Actually,
I was gonna look that up.
Poor memory for this.
Yeah, I don't think it was
I think of Lich King, but those were like marks of Valor, emblems. I think Valor points was Mists,
maybe Mists of Pandaria, Wrath, they say in the chat. I don't know.
Yeah, Wrath was, again, though, that was like an item.
Yeah.
Not just a point system.
Right. You had Valor item. A Valor...
Wowhead. Okay, I was right. Emblem of Valor. That's how I remember
Emblem
it.
Emblem of Valor. Again,
I'm trying to pull this from memory right now.
All right. Some are saying Pandaria.
And believe me, before the show, I was Googling the history of Valor points in World of Warcraft, and there's no resource that brings it all down for you.
I mean, it's just a currency / stat that... you know, came and went and never thought we'd hear about it again, but it's back.
And, but this time it's points.
Yeah, this time it's points. You can use them to upgrade any item that drops in a Mythic Plus dungeon. The item level ceiling you can upgrade depends on your Mythic Plus progress, so that's how that's gated. Completing all Mythic dungeons unlocks upgrades to eye level 200, and completing all Mythic dungeons in plus 5 unlocks eye level 207 as the ceiling. Also, let's see, completing Shadowlands Keystone Conqueror Season 1 unlocks eye level 213. And if you want that elusive eye level 220 ceiling, you're going to have to complete Shadowlands Keystone Master Season 1. That will unlock that. Here's a quote from Blizzard in regards to this, and they had a follow-up as well because there was some confusion. But they said, while the vault should represent a major goal and the source of the best rewards the endgame has to offer, we want to find a way for the loot from the chest at the end of a challenging Mythic Keystone to feel more relevant without bringing back random upgrade systems such as Warforging, which partially solved this problem in the past. And then they just kind of left it there. And then a whole bunch of players were like, now wait a minute. What if I've got gear from equivalent runs, Mythic runs previous to this patch? Is this retroactive? Can I upgrade that gear? And they had hoped that the answer would be yes. I'm afraid to now share with everybody the following. Here was their upgrade or their update. They said, hello, please note that you will not be able to upgrade items that dropped before patch 9.0.5. While we have a technical reason for this, we also want to avoid the feeling you should go get months of item history and stuff your bags and your bank in preparation for this. In-game items, or sorry, in-game, comma, items that can be upgraded will clearly be labeled as such, unquote. Some people are mad about that, but I understand their reasoning. People would just be hoarding the stuff and then...
Yeah, they also mentioned there's a technical concern as well, like in addition to their feeling.
Yeah.
So...
Who knows what that is?
Yeah, this is elaborate. Like, I can understand having grumbles about this, especially if you're a Mythic regular, but...
Yeah. Like, I'm not doing it, but if I was running regular Mythics and I was super hardcore about it, this is a little bit like an early access game announcing a month before their 1.0 release that they're going to wipe all progress, and you didn't know they were going to do that. I understand that feeling, and I understand that this maybe is a form of that, but I understand exactly why Blizzard would not want to make it retroactive. But more importantly, y'all are going to have your reasons to be doing Mythic Pluses and getting better. I mean, this is basically answering the same question we have for, or the same desire we have for things like Torghast and other systems in the game. Make those systems or make those parts of the game more rewarding. And when you do, more people will come. Like, I'm more interested in Mythic Plus now as a result of this, although I probably still not going to dedicate too much of myself to it. But
yeah, but you, like, that's...
Give me a reason, you know?
Yeah, but if you weren't into it before, you're not going to be affected by the feels bad of, sorry, if you already got some hard to get stuff, too bad. You got to find it again. So, like, I do sympathize with those people.
Right.
Because that does feel bad, especially in Shadowlands where drops have been stingy.
Yeah.
At best. Yeah. Which I kind of like, but you know, an addition, a system addition like this does kind of shine a light on the pain points of low drop rates.
Yeah. Because now that I'm thinking about it, this is a bigger problem. Because if you, okay, I understand their idea of saying, well, we don't want you hoarding this stuff and then doing mass upgrades and, you know, it just kind of messes with the game. I get that. But then that's as if you went through every Mythic Plus run and got what you wanted at the end. But you don't. There aren't guarantees. The drops are stingy, as you said. And I don't know, like, that's just going to make, if you did get lucky enough to get the thing you wanted and now you can't upgrade it. I don't know, man. Because now you got to grind all that out again, get that same item again with whatever gosh-awful freaking drop rate it was, and then upgrade it.
It's a sticky situation, right? Because you can also, like, I guess they have a tool for this too, but I'm sure they're trying to cut down on people opening tickets, being like, well, I sold this thing, and we're past the point for me to be able to recover items via the tool that you have set up, and I'm sure they're trying to cut down on, like, support tickets and all kinds of things. You think about that as well. I, for some reason, my brain always goes to them wanting to cut down on support because I'm sure that's a,
you know, it's a factor concern. Though it has to be a factor.
It has to be, right? Like, and I'm not making a judgment either way. Like, it's just a realistic concern.
Sure. Yeah. So you have whatever limited resource you have, and if you don't want to overwhelm your system of support, you have to do decisions you make in the game can't just be gameplay decisions, and they can't just be business decisions, and they can't just be support decisions. All of those people have to be in that room, and they all have to kind of come up with the best decision for everything, or else you're gonna lose balance. Which I get. It's a company. I get it. It's what you do.
Yeah, I come down on this, like, personally, as not having a particularly strong personal thought, but I tend to lean in the direction of the folks who are like, oh, come on, just let me. Like, so what if you don't want me filling my bags? Just let me fill my bags. Like, whatever. They want to go interface with Mythic, go for it. And since they've already, like, revealed what achievements you need to get to hit some of these eye-level ceilings, there's already an incentivization to go run Mythic ahead of this to hit those, you know, start checking off those achievements.
Yeah.
So why not give them one more incentivization to start loot hoarding?
I think I agree. Not? I don't think it's a problem. Now that we've had this discussion, I've kind of come to this point where I think they should just go ahead and let them hoard it. And then, like, what are we even calling hoarding? It's not really hoarding if you got lucky twice. Like, I'm not going to call that hoarding. How is that hoarding? That's not hoarding. That's, you got lucky twice. Well, I mean, you don't want to get lucky
for
again.
Like, every slot, providing, of course, best in slot is even out of Mythic for X amount of your gear slots, if that's even what you're doing, or if you gear entirely through Mythic. Yeah, it is a lot, but I mean, that's up to the player. I don't know. Again, it's like put the control in the hands of the players in this regard.
Yeah.
And again, what's kind of making me lean more that way is, again, the fact that, well, we're already kind of incentivized to start chasing these achievements, which, you know, there's a really cool mount if you get Keep Master or Keystone Master. Right. So there was already incentivization.
Yeah.
But if you want that maximum my level ceiling, that's a pretty big one.
It's a lot. So, yeah. Well, yeah.
Overall, like I'm glad they're adding this.
Yeah.
Though.
Same.
Regardless of the call they made on letting us upgrade things we currently have or not. And again, they did cite a technical limitation as well.
I just wish they'd tell us what that is. Like, let's get fully transparent and say, here's the technical reason we can't do it. I would love to entertain that.
Like, oh, why not? Dude. I mean, you've been covering games as long as you or me. And I can't tell you how many times I've said that on a podcast. Be like, well, I wish they would tell us why this is so difficult. Like, cause I'm legitimately curious.
Yeah, they never do. And so it's easy to get conspiratorial and say, well, that's just an easy answer. And they don't actually have anything like that. And they just don't want to explain it. And they're calling it secret because it's insider info or whatever. But I would love to just, if they say it's a technical reason, then give us the weird math on it. Tell us why it's a problem. And not just so I can scrutinize it and say you're wrong. I actually just would really like to know, in lots of cases, not just this, why is it a technical issue? That stuff's interesting to me. But maybe you and I are weird. I don't know. I just like to know that stuff. So I wish
maybe we create content and we've seen the same answers given many times and we start to want to know a little bit more behind those answers.
Hey, now hold on. I think you might be onto something. Also, I noticed there was a brand new game in the freaking BattleNet launcher. What the hell is that about?
Yeah, man. Sign me up. Not really. I've never been into this, but it's about time for Crash Bandicoot 4. It's about time to come to the BattleNet launcher. So the old-time Blizzard purists tend to recoil when this sort of thing crops up, but you know, maybe we are used to it now with all of the Call of Duties that are on there. I know I certainly am.
Yeah.
It is interesting to note, though, recent Blizzard Studio acquisition Vicarious Visions was responsible for the recent Crash Bandicoot Remaster Collection that showed up on PC and console a while back. There's also their rumored work on Diablo 2 Resurrected, you know, would bring their remastering full circle. Plus, you and I think, mentioned Tony Hawk like the last three episodes.
Oh, right. Yeah. So, keep forgetting those.
Bring that on, man. Put that right in my battle net.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, why not? So I have a couple thoughts on this. People get, you know, of course they get mad and they're like, well, you can't get that out of my thing or whatever. I don't know why we still do that. We should be used to it now after Destiny 2, although it's not there anymore, but Destiny 2 and all the Call of Duties getting lumped in there and everything else. Like, that is the future or the current state of that app, whether you like it or not. You can ignore all of it and never touch any of it if you don't want to. But yes, it's there. But there is a tendency among the Blizzard faithful to go, you've sullied my freaking sacred launcher with a thing that isn't supposed to be here. And by the way, by all accounts, Crash Bandicoot 4 is supposed to be real good, like an actually legit good platformer, well-reviewed kind of across the board. And will you buy it there? I don't know. Maybe it will. I won't. I mean, if I played that, I'd want
to put it on my console. I'm a Crash Bandicoot guy.
Yeah. It's not really my jam either. The original Crash Bandicoots, I didn't like at all. This new one seems interesting. And Crash Team Racing was rad. That was a great kart racer. Way more than just a ripoff of Mario Kart. It was awesome. Love that game. But anyway.
I've never played anything besides a first Crash at like a Target PlayStation kiosk.
Oh, those are the days. The original Crashes were not great. It's hard to believe that's Naughty Dog and what they went on.
Oh, you know what? The most Crash I ever played was the version of it that existed within the last Uncharted game.
Oh, right.
That's not even the last Uncharted game, but yeah, Uncharted 4. That's the most Crash I've ever played.
Right. I forgot that was in there. I played that too there. That's the last time I played it.
You have to. It's part of the linear arc of that game.
So weird. Yeah. So weird that that's the same company. But despite its long history, it's now an Activision property, and it is right there. So if you want to get it, go spend your, it's pre-order now? No. You can actually play it. I guess it's out.
You just buy it. Yeah.
$39.99. There's the price.
It's fine. If it's not your jam, it's not your jam. No big deal. Think of it like BattleNet is like a concert festival. All right. There's a bunch of stages. And if, you know, you can't stand Nickelback and they're playing on A stage, cool. Go to B stage.
That is a great way to describe it. Yeah. We should be over it by now, but a lot of people aren't. But here's the thing that's cool. A main quest. All right. A little flourish.
Did you yell that in real time?
I did.
That blended together really well. You should make that the bumper.
Podcast is magic. All right. We have the BlizzCon line schedule. Yes, that's right. It's only a week away, week and a half away. But we finally got the schedule for the 19th and the 20th. Those are the big 2 days. The opening ceremonies begin 2 p.m. Pacific on February 19th. That's Friday of next week. Following that opening ceremony, players can watch one of six streams for three more hours of content. There's Blizzard, Strategy, Warcraft, Diablo, Hearthstone, and Overwatch. If you're wondering, Strategy is a lumped-in category that will feature anything to do with StarCraft, anything to do with Heroes of the Storm, and anything to do with, what was the other one? Reforged. Warcraft 3 Reforged.
Strategy is a crock of bullshit.
I know, dude. Here's what I knew leading up to today's episode, by the way. I was like, oh, man, Garrett. I mean, I'm a big Heroes fan, too. Used to do a show about it. You still do. And I would argue is like the premier hero show on the internet right now.
Well, if by no other reason than being basically the only hero show on the internet. Yes.
You guys have stuck through thick and thin. I watch Kyle play every day. Like, you guys are hardcore.
Dude, 2020 was amazing in Heroes of the Storm.
It was
really good.
So how did you feel when a tweet comes across the wire from the Heroes team going, follow all your favorite heroes from Heroes of the Storm in all the other stages of the games that the heroes come from? Like, it was the most tone-deaf, awful thing. And I remember
it was
thinking,
like, someone found my scar from the Jalen Brack letter announcing the cancelization of HGC, tried to rub salt in it, realized that it's scarred and not an open wound, cut it back open, peeled it, and then rub salt in it.
Yeah, I knew you were going to feel that way. Like, it was the first thought I had. I went, oh, has Garrett seen this?
I was like, I thought Blizzard had kind of finally gotten to the point where they leave Heroes alone to let the wonderful devs just keep it alive and healthy and give it arguably more updates than any other damn Blizzard game in the catalog.
Yeah.
So it's, we did a whole Into the Nexus about it yesterday. As you know, cause you work with Kyle over on There Will Be Dungeons. Kyle is one of the most level-headed dudes I've ever met.
Yep.
And that has carried through 360 episodes now of Into the Nexus. And we have had one episode other than yesterday that where we like kind of let our personal emotions like just and let them fly.
Yeah.
That was when Jalen Brack announced the cancellation of HGC and his letter was so poorly written. It made people believe that Heroes was dead as of that day.
Yeah.
That was the first time we ever got like truly emotional on the show. And then yesterday was the other time.
Wow.
Because while this is just a tweet, it's just like, you know what, Blizzard PR, just stay the shit out of Heroes of the Storm because you don't know what you're doing.
It did.
You're
seem
actively harming it.
It was pretty tone deaf to the fan base, and it, I don't know, maybe accomplished what it needed to, which was to say, don't go expecting a bunch of stuff from us.
But it did. It literally said, expect things. Here's a link to the things you should expect, and then had nothing for Heroes, and that's why I'd get up in arms about it. Anyway, rant over. If you would like a 90-minute version of that rant, check out ITN.
Yeah, go get that. That'll be where you get your mess of heroes discussion around this thing. But anyway, I wanted to showcase what's happening with Warcraft stuff, and then we can get a little bit more into some predictions about what the other panels will be for and possibly new announcements and things. I have a theory. It's a little crackpot, but I've got a theory I'll share at the end of this. But here's what's happening in Warcraft. Day one, World of Warcraft, what's up next, is from 3:10 to 3:40. These are all Pacific time times, so 4:10 to 4:10 to 4:40 for me. Anyway, because I'm an hour ahead. I don't know why I'm doing that math for everybody. Anyway, so that's what's happening there. We assume this is going to be, that particular panel will be mostly what's coming up. What's the plan for 9.1? What about flying? What about blah, 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 blah? Like whatever's happening, the story, everything else. Possibly that would be the point where my other prediction about getting some new CGI story content, we may see some of that there. Maybe we'll see that in the opening ceremonies. I don't know. We don't even know what an opening ceremony looks like in a virtual context, so we'll have to wait and see. The deep dive from 3:40 to 4:10, the World of Warcraft making the Wandering Ancient Mount, from 4:10 to 4:20, and then World of Warcraft Voices of the Afterlife, or from the Afterlife, I don't know, it's of, from 4:20 to 5:50. So pretty late on the East Coast.
Yeah, this is all Pacific time.
Does that bum you? I mean, not that you're, you know, you're not asleep by nine or anything, but are you bummed that this stuff's going so late, or do you wish it was earlier?
No, because that means Friday I get to get like a full work day in and then go enjoy BlizzCon.
Oh, good point.
And you and I have been talking. We're probably gonna do some sort of commentary thing at some point, maybe for the opening ceremony or whatever. Mm-hmm. We don't have anything locked in, so just be flexible, folks, if you want to tune into that. But if you and I are live commentating, Scott, you're gonna see me sitting there with a cocktail in my hand, because it's gonna be after five and it's gonna be wonderful.
I think that's awesome. I didn't think about it that way, but yeah, like, it's gonna be perfect timing for me as well. That particular day, there will not be a regular episode of this show, but we'll be scraping some content from our coverage and putting it on the feed, as well as stuff for folks who support us for our Dungeons Plus membership. So there'll be a bunch of extra stuff there. And then a big follow-up show the following week, obviously, where we'll talk about everything we know. But that's day one. Day two, World of Warcraft Q&A from 12 to 1. It's also Pacific time. That'll be an interesting one. Community Showcase from 105 to 205. All right.
And that's for everything. That's the only thing happening from 1 to 2, basically. Correct. The Community Showcase. It's going to be broadcasted on every single channel simultaneously.
And I think that's... like, they're doing cosplay and all kinds of stuff, just like, you know, remote. They've been giving away prizes for stuff for probably previous to now, and this is where they'll showcase the winners for that stuff. So no idea what that's going to look like, but that'll be an hour of that. Then you got World of Warcraft, The Evolution of Thrall with Taryn Gregory, Christy Golden, and Sean Copeland from 205 to 305. I'm actually very excited to see that, although... feels like a thing you ought to have Metzen guesting for.
I was about to say, where is my Metzen in that lineup of names?
Yeah, I mean, he invented that character, and so much.
That panel is now known as "Dude, Where's My Metzen?"
Well, we'll find out, I guess. I doubt he'll. Maybe he will show up. I don't know. I have a meeting with him earlier in the week, but it's nothing to do with this. And maybe I'll. I don't know. He's not going to tell me.
Boy, anyway. You're pulling a lot of Johnsons. Hey, is there any point on Saturday where you can live chat with me on Twitch? It seems like you're really open and you have nothing going on.
There's a certain part of the day that day I can't.
Oh, why not, Scott? Why not?
Oh, it's like an hour of it's just a time I can't do anything else.
Are you do you have like a planned toilet time or?
No. Yeah,
it's completely unrelated to BlizzCon, right?
Yeah, I'll be on the toilet playing the inevitable Diablo Immortal launch, which will happen on Friday. So we'll all have that, and I'm sure that's what I'll be doing.
Look under your chairs.
Yeah,
you now have Diablo Immortal. As long as you put your phone under your chair before you started watching this,
right? They will transmit the app through the air, which seems like a violation of my personal privacy. Anyway. What else? We got so that Thrall thing, and then you got World of Warcraft Shadowlands sound creation from 305 to 315. As you can tell, Saturday's a little lighter fare after the Q&A. There's a cooking workshop with Lullaboo from 315 to 425. I hate to say it, but I don't know who Lullaboo is. Do you know who that is?
Influencer? I do not. I do watch a decent amount of cooking content, but no, I'm unfamiliar with Lullaboo. I apologize.
I wish I knew. I admit, no shade. I just don't know who that is. Probably an influencer I'm just not familiar with. But anyway, so that's happening. Is that that's that person that wrote that World of Warcraft cooking book that came out? The cookbook series? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. We're making all this up as we go. And then finally, Blizzard Art Studio. We got Margrave Crexus with Jordan Powers from 410 to 425. So some cool art stuff. That's basically it. There's no, esports competitions or any of that stuff around this, like you would normally have at a BlizzCon, even exhibition events, that sort of stuff's not being done. I believe this is just me. Okay. Here comes crackpot theory. Wait, I have a theme for that. Let me do this real quick. Here we go. Okay. So here's my crackpot theory. I think that there was a change on Twitter that made me think of something. I follow and occasionally talk to Corey Stockton, who works at Blizzard, and it's for a long time was on the WoW team, was responsible for a ton of stuff, and then was around the time they said, hey, we're going to have these incubators here at the company and people working on new things. He was shuttled off into one of those and not heard from since. and nobody really knew what he was working on. And he's one of the most creative dudes over there. He's a gigantic Nintendo fan. He and I share a lot of love for that stuff. And so that alone makes me interested in what he would do, because I know those sensibilities are there, and I would be really curious to see how he marries some of those ideas to Blizzard properties, but never really knowing what he's up to. On Twitter, he changed his profile to say game director at Blizzard. That was new. And we didn't know he was directing anything, meaning in charge of a game. And one can make the assumption, I think pretty safely, that it must be something that's not already happening. He's not game director for World of Warcraft or Overwatch or anything else. It's something new. If they're going to let him do that on his Twitter profile, and that's now a public thing that is a game director, I am now convinced, with no evidence whatsoever besides all of this, that they're going to announce whatever the heck that is. That there will be a new game announcement, whether, and if it's mobile or whatever, I don't know what it is, but there will be an announcement, and it will be the team he's in charge of. That's my thinking.
I am trying to figure out where they would hide a panel about this, because the schedule is full.
Right.
But there are rebroadcasts happening, which if I were them and I was trying to be cheeky and hide something, that's how I would hide it.
Yeah. I mean, when don't you think it's possible, and also, even if they just did a brief, like in the opening ceremonies, they give a 15 minutes to a new thing. And then they just say, it's so early in development, that's all we've got. No big panel. Like, I agree with you. It's weird not to have a panel for a thing that I'm, or at least a hole that says to be announced, like they do some years. They did it with Overwatch, for example, the year that was announced. But in this particular case, if it's a small enough project, let's say it's a mobile project or console, or, you know, who knows, that maybe they don't need a bigger stage for it. They just need to announce it, get people stoked about it, and then we move on. I don't know. My crackpot theory ends right there. That's as far as I know. Thoughts, feelings, comments? Am I crazy? What do you think?
I'm just looking at this schedule going, I don't see a lot of places for chatter about a new game. And if they were going to announce a new game, they would have something to show. Like, Immortal as an example was clearly announced early.
Yeah, that's true.
And they had a panel for Immortal the year they announced it.
That's true.
And
they did.
It didn't go as expected, but they had it.
They had it. They had playable demos on the floor. Like, there was, but I just wonder, in a virtual event like this, if maybe they can get away with it more, having a full panel follow up, because you're just video format. You're just, you know, moving on to the next thing. Yeah. And it's not the same as us all wandering around a place going, ooh, where's the booth for the thing? I don't know. Don't know what to think
it's
about.
It's kind of the thing that has calmed me about my hot sadness, is that, like, overall looking at this is a light BlizzCon.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like, going from 5 to 8:30 for day one.
Yeah.
Short. My goodness, like, yeah, that's unheard of for BlizzCon. I mean, these are full day events when they happen in person. Now, again, a lot of these teams have already kind of hit the stuff that they would have been releasing or announcing or talking about back in November. Like, especially Hearthstone is a big example of this, but ended up working out for Hearthstone. They're just about to go into a new standard year, go into a major set rotation, and announce their next expansion.
Yeah.
We also know that we're due one more game mode, which they still haven't talked about the damn thing. There's no way it's not getting announced here.
Oh, it'll totally happen here.
I'm like, yeah. Babe Ruth calling this. Like, they have to at this point.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be shocked if they didn't do that. That'd be weird.
So there's all those thoughts to me. It's like, this is just not typically when they would even be doing this. So, like, I don't know. I'm not reading into it too much. I'm just kind of looking at this like, yeah, this is what they were able to put together. In terms of, you were talking about Corey Stockton, yeah?
Yeah.
Yep. Already forgotten the name of the dev.
At Mumper on Twitter.
In terms of a Corey Stockton business, you know, I'll get down with you, man. I'll put on my aluminum hat.
Okay.
And say that it is suspicious that on the Blizzard channel, the thing up at the very top, that after World of Warcraft, what's next, there's over 2 hours of rebroadcasted panels from other channels.
Yeah. I mean,
World of Warcraft has its own channel.
Yeah.
Why, I guess World of Warcraft is also a rebroadcast. It just wasn't marked as one because it's also happening on the World of Warcraft.
Right. Like the Overwatch.
But that's not marked as a, maybe it's happening. Like, again, it's like if they were going to do a panel, it was a brand new game. Wouldn't you have that following immediately, the opening ceremony? Like, hey, here's the brand new thing that you didn't even know about. It was our bomb drop surprise.
Well, maybe, but they're not restricted by any of the typical rules. If they wanted to, they could say, we're announcing this new thing. We're super stoked about it. And on March 8th, we're doing a special 2-hour stream, and it's nothing but info on this. Like, they don't have to live within the confines of these 2 days. Like, they can get weird with it. I'm not saying they will or won't. I just think that we have to think outside the normal structure, because this is just so freaking weird.
It is strange for sure.
Yeah.
But
yep. So we'll see.
My only like takeaway is like, if you are a Hearthstone or a Diablo fan, I think you're going to be frothing at the mouth with excitement here.
Yeah.
Who knows with World of Warcraft? Who knows with anything else?
Overwatch, maybe Overwatch 2 is going to blow our minds, and we're going to be seeing all kinds of new stuff, because we haven't heard shit since they announced it.
I'm so skeptical about Overwatch 2 bringing me back in, but I can almost feel the vibrations of excitement coming from Patrick.
Oh, yeah. He's probably on right now. Just check check Discord, see if he's logged in. Probably happening. All right. What else was I going to say? Oh, Diablo 4, a lot of talk about that. I think we may actually get do we get a date for Immortal? No, we've got a zone for, we know whether it's happening before the end of the year. We know that. I think this might be their chance to say a date for Diablo Immortal, for those who care. That's probably going to happen.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to get Jack for Diablo 4 in terms of a date.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I want out of World of Warcraft across the board. I want the feeling that 9.1 is a real crescendo moment for it, story-wise and otherwise. I just want to feel like, all right, we've all done our thing here so far in Shadowlands. What do you got next? And I don't want to walk away from that feeling wanting. I want to be blown away. And it may not take much to do that. You give me a sweet CGI confrontation between the jailer and Garrosh Hellscream or something weird, whatever you're going to do. You give me something cool, and I'm going to be really, I'll be pretty hyped up, but I need something
the
like
long
that.
White hair is shown from the back. He turns around, and Arthas Menethil goes, "Glad you could make it, Garrosh."
Oh, man. Can you imagine? You know we're going to have to deal with that, because the whole intro
I'm just going with like the worst fan servicey bowl they could possibly pull. Yeah, they have more class than that. They're not doing that.
Yeah. Bolvar Arthas confrontation though possible, do you think, at some point?
I think Arthas is on my radar by no other virtue than my fandom, mixing with the fact that we got a tiny little peek of him in the Afterlife shorts.
Yeah.
And no sign of him in the entire leveling experience and first raid of Shadowlands.
Well, so, that's why I'm saying I need more. That's why I need 9.1 to really like blow the doors out and say,
we've got a Chekhov's gun situation with Arthas Menethil.
We do. And not only that, we kind of have it with Uther a little bit. Like, Uther was part of that in a way. And then you get that.
Yeah, that was Bastion. Explored more in Bastion, but right. he's still kind of a
but really, hanging, he just flew over
Chad,
you,
but a hanging paladin.
He just flew over you in like black flight gear and said some evil stuff sounding things, and then that's it. Like, we gotta get more on what's going on there.
We'll get there. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I need 0.1. I wouldn't mind kind of like what they did with Legion, where they were like, here's the next patch, but also we're gonna talk about kind of our vision for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because if you remember, they got up at BlizzCon and they previewed the next patch for Legion, but then they were also like, also, by the way, we're going to Argus. They told us flat out.
Right.
Ever going to Argus. So like, we had this idea of where we were heading, and I tend to not like roadmaps.
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, they didn't like draw one up for that. That was just their presentation. They just got up and straight up told us the arc of Legion. And that just got me so hyped.
Right.
Because like, I knew, and it did so much to satiate like my boredom whenever I would get to the end of a patch within Legion. And, you know, things just got samey because there's nothing new. Like, it did a lot to like keep me hungry for what's next and keep me excited about, you know, World of Warcraft.
Right.
So I'm kind of hoping they do the same here, because right now I really am feeling like Shadowlands is at the end of what it currently has to offer, and I'm kind of bored with it.
Yeah, I need more. We need more.
Yeah. Give us more. And then the 0.5 patch is like as nice as I think it is to add valor, and especially someone who's had some rotten luck finding weapons.
Yeah.
That doesn't bode well, I think, for how quickly 0.1 is coming.
Yeah.
I look at this and go, oh, we're going to be here for a little bit longer, aren't we?
Yeah. Some flying though coming. Mm.
Eventually. Right.
Well, rumor, as far as I know, that rumor about 9.1 is still floating. So I don't know. I'm holding that hope that we may have.
It was not a rumor. They said it would come in 9.1.
Did they say that?
And it would be tied to renown.
Then that's soon, isn't it? We just don't know what the renown is.
Soon-ish.
Yeah.
Why are they giving us valor points if it's soon, Scott?
Also, why am I making alts when my renown's going to be so far behind I won't be able to fly the day they do it? Why am I doing that?
Because you're having fun, and that's all that matters.
I know, but I just want to pay a grand in gold and fly. That's all I want.
You remember those old Reese's commercials? There's no wrong way to eat a Reese's, Scott.
Yes.
There's no wrong way to play World of Warcraft.
All right. I should have listened then. All right. The only wrong way is to eat a whole bag, by the way. That's me on the record on that.
I mean, are you like 12? You could probably push through.
You probably push it. Yeah. You probably make it happen. Yeah. You got the metabolism. Go for it. All right. Today we're going to have some real fun. Watch this. All right. Garrett doesn't know it yet, but this is going to be the funnest game he's ever played here on the show. And it's called Know Your Cards. We're going to test his Hearthstone World of Warcraft character medal by asking him some questions based on some sound clips. Now, I went and got 8 Hearthstone cards. These were golden legendaries, each one of them. This doesn't matter if they're golden, but they're legendaries. They're always golden, right?
Yeah. I was like, golden doesn't affect sound clips.
No, not at all. Plus, it doesn't matter at all. So I don't know why I'm bringing that up.
I would like to request a point for that knowledge already.
Nope, you don't get one. You have 8 possible points to make here. And when you get one right, you are going to hear this sound. When you get it wrong, you hear this. And I have high faith in you being able to do well here. So here come your sound clips. Hold on, I gotta copy this over here. Okay, there.
Will you be mad if I try and Google card names in the background to see, because I can't remember what the hell they're called, but I have a vague idea of what they are.
You are allowed. Let me think what you're allowed to do.
Because I'm minimizing chat. I don't want chat to spoil me.
I think based on just because I did, the ones I chose did not say their own names. That was on purpose, so that's not obvious, obviously.
So Leroy Jenkins is not in here.
Yeah, Leroy Jenkins isn't in here. Jaraxxus isn't in here, because you face Jaraxxus, that whole thing. You're not doing any of that. So, you know what? I think it is okay, but the trick here is you've got like a 5-second timer per... Okay, 10-second timer. How about that?
Brutal.
I'll give you 10.
That's brutal. All right. All right,
so here we go. I'm going to go ahead and start with number 1. Tell me who you think this famous World of Warcraft character and star of his own card in Hearthstone, who this is.
Who dares defile this ancient land?
All right. Do you know who that is? Timer.
Could you play it one more time?
Yes, I can.
Who dares defile this ancient land?
Boy, that one is difficult.
I started with a hard one.
It's
my wedding night.
No, ancient land. We're going to run into an issue where you're picking cards that never saw play. And so I may have never heard these clips.
It's possible because I'm not much of it. I don't know when these cards would have been prominent or like if they ever were.
Kind of sounds like Cenarius, but that's not his play emote.
If I were you, I'd say Cenarius. You got it right. That is correct.
Well, oh, that is Cenarius.
Yeah,
okay.
Cenarius.
All right. Is that his play emote?
That's his play emote. That's when he pops. When you throw the card down, he goes,
who dares defile this ancient land?
If you keep going, if this is a staying trivia, I'm going to have to queue up a recording of the ambient sounds of Hearthstone because these clips by themselves, it's weird.
Yeah, because normally you have ambient noise, music, and you have sometimes, you know, gung gung, or like the sound of the ground cracking.
Yeah, you get the sound effects when it's landing. Yeah. And with that, because he spawns units when he lands, like he spawns a treance, or I think you have an option of it. But
so they would do their whole thing.
So you also have the sound of the like vines growing and
sure.
Shit.
And if any of these guys have.
This is like that really stripped down version of Mark Hoppus going, hello there, that you have. Like, it's that same weirdness.
Hello there.
Yeah, it's weird. It's isolated.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, here's one for you.
Yep.
Try it. So far, 1-for-1. You're doing all right. Here's the next one. All right. Now, I have to admit,
what?
I knew this one, which is weird because I don't even play the game. I'll play it again for you. Here you go. He's a legendary. And the hint I'll give you is that he is a, this might give it away, he's a big dinosaur man.
Oh, it's King Crush.
Well done. You got it.
Okay.
King Crush is correct. All right.
You just said big.
I could, okay, I could
have went from there.
All right. Here's one for you.
You require my assistance.
I'll play it one more time for you.
You require my assistance.
You require my assistance.
Oh, damn it. Oh.
Now, the hint I'll give here is, or the caution I would give here is that at the end is not exclusive to that card. There are a number of cards that use that flourish at the end. So don't let that draw you down like the wrong hole.
Is it a wizard dude?
Yes.
Oh, crap.
You might even call him a mage.
Archmage Antonitis.
You are correct. Look at you so far.
Oh, I was having a hard time removing that from Velen. I always transpose those two, even though one is like a Draenei priest card and the other is like just an old bearded dude.
Old bearded for dude, mage. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I always mix those two up.
Well done. Next up, here's the fourth one. And this one might share the flourish, I think.
Put your faith in the light.
The hint I will give here is this dude died unceremoniously.
Oh, Tyrion Fordring.
Bing. He got it.
I should have said it actually really giving these away.
These hints, I should mention, part of the game is the hints. I get to give one hint and one hint only, and whether my hint is good or not is not up to Garrett.
Died unceremoniously. I mean, you could have said the same hint for Antonitis.
I totally could have. They both died badly. All right, here's one for you that I found difficult if I was to hear it. Here you go.
Not all who wander are lost.
Not all who hunger are lost, I think is what he says, right?
Not all who wander are lost.
That's Velen.
You are correct. Nicely done. Totally Velen. See, I didn't even have to give you a hint. You got that one.
Yeah, that one's Velen.
All right, here's one for you. This is, I'll just play it.
The Brotherhood shall prevail.
Okay.
Did you do all legendaries, man?
Yeah, all legendaries.
Okay, because that's Edwin.
That is Edwin Van Cleef. Congratulations, you did. I should have made you say the whole word, but yes. These are all Van Cleef. I didn't do any like rando cards like here's a freaking single Murloc with, you know, shield or something. Like I didn't do any of that.
Yeah, let's start yelling about if it's Deadmines or Van Cleef when you're trying to find a group in Classic. Let's yell about, let's fight about that.
Yeah, please. All right, here's another one. This might be hard.
That would be Alakir the Windlord.
Man, just whip that one out like it's nothing.
Doing some classics here, man.
Garrett, we are 7-7. Number 8, if you get it, you have mastered today's masterclass. All right, so here's number 8. Enjoy.
This time for sure.
Oh, okay. Definitely a gnome.
That was going to be my hint.
Maybe a goblin.
My hint was gnome. It's a gnome, yep.
Tinkmaster Overspark?
You are correct. You got 100% of these correct. Oh, my gosh. Hold on. We got to celebrate with the music here. Oh, look at Garrett walking down the winner's circle with a thing around his neck. He got them all. 8-8. Nicely done. All right. Next time. This is good because I needed to establish a baseline on the Hearthstone thing. So if I ever do one of these again, I'm gonna aim a little more difficult because you were really good.
Think I would have gotten King Crush without a hint.
Yeah, King Crush was, I knew it was going to be screwy because there's no actual dialogue. It's just a
And what was
grunt.
The, what was the first one?
First one first was, one was Cenarius, I think.
Who dares?
Cenarius. Okay, yeah that Cenarius. One was tough.
Yeah.
I haven't played Cenarius in a long time. I haven't played Alakir in a long time either, but Alakir is like, that one just stuck with me for some reason.
I almost did Jiraxxus just as a joke, but I decided not to do it.
That would have been funny.
Yeah.
Depending on the site you use, they might have some of their other emotes. Like there's also death emotes.
Oh, that's true. Don't give me any ideas. That's a good idea. Emotes. Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
the Jiraxxus one would have, if you used anything other than like his I am Jiraxxus one, though, like especially if it's attack or death, that would have been cruel.
Yeah.
Because the Jiraxxus card replaces your hero.
Yeah.
So the only time you ever hear an attack or a death emote on Jiraxxus is if you have a really weird card that plays him from your hand And it's the only, it's like there's only been a few cards that can actually get Draxus on the board as opposed to replacing your hero.
Oh, weird.
And so they're really rarely heard emotes.
So I could have gotten you with that. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, you would have stopped me with that one. Although, I mean, Draxus has a pretty memorable voice.
Oh, so yeah.
Even if it was something I hadn't heard before.
Probably. I mean, that dude, and he's really full of himself. He literally says, "You face me." Like, okay. All right. I face you, I guess.
You could have cut it off there and not had Draxus in there. Probably.
Speaking of gnomes, who was the gnome that fought him in TOC? Was it TOC? Trial of the Champions. Oh, well,
you mean the one who summoned him?
Yeah. Who was that?
Wasn't that Wilfred Fizzlebank?
Yeah, that was
Master
shithead.
Summoner.
Oh, my Lord. How many times I sat through that dialogue doing that,
run? Dude.
We did that thing on repeat.
That takes me back to living in Los Angeles in an apartment that costs as much as my house right now, eating Pizza Hut.
No wonder they're all moving here. We got so many California neighbors now. All our house prices are up. All right. Well done. Now this.
Mr. Johnson, I have questions.
Well, do you, Mr. Metzen? I've got answers. Oh, I don't. I didn't have one in here. Why didn't I put one in here? I thought I had an email in here. I swear I put it in.
Twitch.
Here, I'm going to find it. Question. Oh, here it is. I found the one that I was going to use.
Okay.
Here it is. Move over here. All right. This is from Valkaya of Lightbringer, U.S. Says, hello there, Scott and Garrett. I love the show, especially because it's at a good time and there's a chance I can listen to it live. I live in Salt Lake City, so the Mountain Time Zone announces are appreciated. I have a question for you both. There are four covenants, ow, that hurt, that we currently know about. And there are four faction leaders that Sylvanas kidnapped and threw into the Maw. If, hypothetically, we get Anduin back and the leaders decide they need to visit the covenants, which leader would go into which covenant? It says in parentheses, where each covenant has to be picked by at least one leader and have everything go to Arden, or sorry, can't have everyone go to Ardenweald. Feel free to take into account which classes the leaders play and therefore which covenants are best for them as well. Do you both agree that the leaders would go to the same places, or do your opinions differ? Thanks.
Okay. So we got Thrall. We got
Thrall, Anduin,
Jaina,
Anduin. But I guess Anduin's the, I mean, who's Horde leader though right now? Who's in charge? I forget. Do we have a war chief? What's wrong with me? Do we have?
Oh, and Bane. Bane's the fourth.
Is so, Bane the current war chief?
No. Who is the current war? I'm actually blanking on that.
Do we not have
who's
one?
Currently is in charge of the
council?
Horde?
We have Bane. Council.
Okay. Okay. It's a council. That's what it was.
All right. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, they went to a council. They learned something from the Blood Elves.
Yeah.
So Thrall would have to go to the Necrolords, right? Because like he's a great warrior.
Yeah, wouldn't he have to? Bastion.
I mean, they're all great warriors, right? But when I like, especially now. Well, I guess he did kind of get his elemental powers back.
I think Final Senator in the chat has it right. He says Anduin, Bastion, Thrall, Necrolord. Bane, Ardenweald, Jaina, Revendreth.
Oh, there's definitely no world where Bane doesn't go to Ardenweald.
But Jaina,
yeah,
Revendreth?
I don't really think, you know, if we were pre-BFA Jaina, I would say Revendreth. I think she's grown a lot, though, and really, like, found peace.
Yeah, she's softened up a lot. Legion Jaina could have freaking led the Burning Crusade. She was so pissed, like...
Yeah.
Like she was in a place, but
I think Jaina would, I don't think anyone, any of these four go to Revendreth.
Yeah. Jaina goes to Bastion with Anduin or something. Or,
I think she goes to Bastion or Maldraxxus, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that.
Jaina's a hell of a fighter.
Yeah. She's a warrior for sure. Just wields magic and not axes. I think that would work. It also, this email made me think, what if there were, because these leaders are there and they're so massive in the space, what if they established four new covenants? Because the current covenants are busted and shitty. You know what I mean?
Oh, but I love the current covenants.
I do too. I'm not saying they're broken from a game
perspective.
So
Anduin's would be the Boy Scout Club of America.
The Boy Scouts of America. I love that.
Or a YMCA, something is equally like boring and community focused.
I like that a lot.
I love the YMCA. I grew up around one. It was a major.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with
the
YMCA. It's fun.
But oh man, yeah. Whatever it is, Anduin's group, nobody's trampling over each other to get in there.
No, not interesting to anyone.
Yeah.
But the rest of
them, I mean, Jaina knows? Would just be, hey, do you want to join Frozen? Is Frozen your favorite Disney movie?
Yeah, you there go, you go.
Go join
the Frozen, Covenant. Yeah. She likes ice. The
Frozen Covenant.
Yeah.
And it would be called Let It Snow.
Yeah.
Thralls would just be like Negrand. Yeah. It would just be a death version of Negrand.
They'll say, where's the place with the floating chunks of earth? That's where I want to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Waterfalls falling from a floating island. That's my town. All right. Yeah. Well done. Great email. And glad we were able to read it. And also, hello, fellow Salt Laker. Always like to hear from locals. That's going to do it for today's show. If you want to send your own emails in, theinstance@gmail.com is the email address to use, and use it frequently. We're happy to read them right here. And if you're looking to support us, you can do it over at theinstance.net. We have a cool little program we built ourselves called the Instance Plus membership. And you just sign up for super cheap prices and get all kinds of great benefits every month by doing so. The main thing is you get to support your favorite WoW show. So go do it and check it out. Before we get out of here, any cool stuff going on, Garrett, that you want to talk about before the lead up to BlizzCon online?
As I mentioned, had a really meaty, like very personal episode of Into the Nexus yesterday. I think the most personal one we've had in years. So you should go check that out with me and Kyle. And also the Angry Chicken this week, we didn't even bring it up, that ahead of BlizzCon, Hearthstone announced that their basic and classic cards are going away. They're going to make a whole new format called the Hearthstone Classic, where you can only play with the original cards that came out in 2014. And then every year, starting this year, they're going to have a new core set that they give everyone for free. That's going to be a curated collection of cards from Classic, Basic, Wild, and some new stuff.
Wow.
And that's just a huge change for the game. One that I think is one of the best changes in the history of Hearthstone.
Yeah.
And we had a good about 90-minute discussion about that over on the Angry Chicken. So nice. If that sounds interesting to you, you can find me, Jocelyn. And we also had a Ridiculous Hat guest this week.
Oh, fantastic. So, yeah. Always do.
Hats good people.
Got to have a good hat. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening, watching, hanging out. However you're getting us, we love that you get us. And if you haven't done it, review us on some message board, or not message board, places where you get your podcasts, what I'm trying to say, directories like, iTunes, or as it's known now, Apple Podcasts, or maybe Google Play, or perhaps you get your podcast on Spotify. Wherever it is you listen to us, reviewing us there gets more exposure, and we'd love it if you did. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.